Hello and welcome to a special After Midnight edition of the S Words podcast. I'm your host, Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Michael Lee.
I'm John Condon.
John Condon is a first-time host. Kevin is a little envious right now, even though he's having a better time than us, because he's been trying to get John on the show for a while, and this is John's very first time. And John, might I add that you're looking mighty fine in that bathrobe.
Oh, it's so...
You're just
rocking the robe.
It's so fluffy. Well, actually, no, it's actually pretty coarse.
Wow.
Like he's sand?
He's already lying to you, listeners.
Is it coarse like sand? Coarse?
Coarse and rough.
Rough. Coarse. Not like you.
So soft and smooth. Chocolatey lips.
I'm glad I'm rooming with you.
Just say it out. So he's lucky. Looking at Dom when he's saying that.
And this is what happens after midnight when staffers are working on not enough hours of sleep. Although a lot of that is my fault. Because I keep you guys up late at night.
But it's funny.
Yeah.
It is funny.
It's fun.
It's the staffing experience.
It is the staffing experience. The loopiness that you get from not enough rest. At least they're feeding us and making sure that we stay hydrated. Or at least we're making sure we stay hydrated.
When did they do that?
Okay, we stole water.
They took away our water this year. We had to go find our own.
To buy our own.
And we're in the middle of the desert here, so...
and feeding us.
Okay, we got like TV dinner meatloaf.
Yeah, that's
we got
true,
sandwiches. Hey, I've had Korean barbecue the last two nights. It's just except that I've gone out for those.
I thought the sandwiches were okay,
but it's okay. It's okay. This is the staff experience, and honestly, I wouldn't give it up for the world because I've spent 4 days at an anime convention far too many times, and let's face it, we get bored.
Yeah,
this is kind of the only time I get to see some friends I've made over the years. So yeah, I look forward to convention season every year.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's true for me too.
I mean, you've gone out into the convention world, John. You were talking to me. It's like, yeah, and I went to the dance, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's changed over the years. Yeah, it's gone from music that I used to enjoy dancing to rave music now.
I think I heard you mention I'm on a boat being played at the dance.
Oh yeah, that was great. But that was before I turned to 18 only, but yeah, they well, I can't say it on here.
Is that when they changed to Jizz in My Pants?
Oh, I wish
once
they
it
had.
Was 18 and over.
No, they didn't. It went to straight rave music. But I love it when I came in there and they were saying, I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a effing boat. That was, yeah.
Doing flips and S.
Yeah. And everybody chanting along and jumping around, knowing all the lyrics. Yeah. Yeah. You go in there, that immediate feeling was, yeah, these are my people.
You can tell us about the Morning Musume concert, too, since I think you were the only one of us who went to that, John, right?
Yes. I can tell you.
Technically, I went in too, but that was on other business. So.
Because the thing is that we are only separated from the main events hall this year by a thin, not a thin, but a removable wall in a convention hall, and so it's pretty terribly soundproofed.
It's about 3-4 inches. It's pretty thin.
Yeah, and the thing is that last year we were separated by like a block and a half because all of the main events and the concerts and such were in the Nokia Theater, which is an incredible venue. I should. Recommend it to anybody.
It's nice. This may sound weird, but I really like all the security guys there.
They were awesome. Yeah, really professional.
They really knew what they were doing,
and good line control. I mean, everybody immediately getting in once they say open doors, boom! Like seating was immediate. Nobody was late. It was from a staffing perspective, it was great.
This year we had the Morning Musume concert in South Hall, no West Hall.
Yeah,
which is
West Hall.
If anybody
West
who's
Hall
been
A.
anybody who's been to E3 knows what this place looks like. It's just a big cavern.
Yeah, it was used as registration last year, which was great for registration. For a concert, it doesn't have the greatest acoustics.
Yeah, and it's not like Morning Musume is the greatest musical act in the world either, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is what generation is this?
I couldn't even tell you.
Eight.
Yeah, it's been pretty long.
Hey, they had their special guest, Hangry and Angry.
But they weren't singing.
Wasn't it just Hangry?
Yeah, actually, I think I don't know what happened to Ishikawa, but yeah, I think only Yoshizawa was there. Did she not sing?
Well, I sort of. Oh yeah, that's right.
You had left earlier, and yeah. I wasn't there
because
for that
didn't
part
you
myself.
Say that your jaw was numb after being in that concert?
My whole right side of my face was numb when I could start hearing again. When they stopped doing the pounding of the music, I could feel that it was numb, and yeah, I had to duck out.
U.S. government, take note. Sonic weaponry, look into it.
Yeah, it works. It works on Iron Man. It can work on people.
Sung was there. He stayed through the whole thing. He said he enjoyed it.
Well, that's because Sung is an old dyed-in-the-wool Morning Musume fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember when Morning Musume was first announced for AX? You know where that info came from?
Oh, did it come from him?
Information was contributed to this article by Sung Lee.
Yeah. Egan contacted him as a research assistant, basically.
Wow. I didn't know that.
He's the man. Yeah. The man you go to for Momus.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, I didn't know that.
But yeah, I mean, we were listening through the wall because it's hard not to.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's just like, man, Morning Musume music kind of sucks. Hey, wait, I like this song. Oh, right, this is because the song's like 8 years old.
Yeah, from like the first or second generation.
Yeah.
But they were better than Mana. Well, at least I think.
Mana kept making me feel like I was either in a Castlevania game or in a Guilty Gear level. I don't think there were even vocals, but then again, I don't know if Mana speaks a human language, Mike.
Yeah, you know, being in press for 7 years, yeah, we run press panels, and so when he was here at AX earlier with, what was the name of that group, Skin, was that right?
Skin was the super group with, yeah, like yeah. The, yeah, with what is it?
Him and Yoshiki, two others, right?
Yoshiki from X Japan, I think.
Yeah,
and a few other people.
Sounds right.
Yeah, so we had a press panel with Mana before. That's where I've seen him, and he has an interpreter,
not translator.
Yeah, an interpreter, which means that when somebody asks him a question in English, then the interpreter says
and waves his hands,
and then Mana interpreting or receiving this information would respond with
and also waving his hands in the very odd way.
And then the interpreter would give Mana's answer, somehow changing these noises into language. So I thought that was kind of weird. And then somebody else in the press stood up, and it was actually press from Japan. So she asked a question in Japanese, you know, okay, yeah. And then here's what happened.
And waving of hands.
Yeah, he didn't even speak Japanese. The interpreter had to speak for Mana. It was an odd duck.
It was like twin speak, right? When you have that special language that twins have with each other.
I still like the joke you made. It's like, it's not monosing, it's the interpreter.
Well, how do you know? I wasn't in the room. You guys were listening through the wall. How do you know it's not the interpreter?
And there's just Mana over there going
telling him what to sing.
Just reminds me of the closed captioned national anthems. Oh man!
Yeah,
are we just too old for these shows now?
Well, Morning Musume is the ninth generation.
They're eternally young.
Yeah. They're like the female Menudo, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're always young, but now they're also old. If that makes sense. There was two Chinese singers. Yes,
Taiwanese members of Morning Musume now. It was pretty big news.
Well, went international.
Yeah. It wasn't that big news, but it was relatively big news when they had auditions in Taiwan.
Yeah, and so that's different. I'm not sure. I doubt that. But now they're international band now. So.
I have to admit that I did enjoy talking to Ishiwatari Daisuke. I was unfortunately unable to turn on his microphone because I was rushed for the interview with him, but you can hear some of it, and I will provide interpretation later when we... yes. No, Ishiwatari Daisuke is... and Mori, the two designers of Blaze Blue and of the Guilty Gear series. Actually, Ishiwatari Daisuke was only directly involved up to Accent Core, and then the later Guilty Gears were Mori, And then he went into Blaze Blue, and
they are
a fun team. Like, they've obviously been working with each other for a while. They're really comfortable with each other, and they're just having fun. Like, I was sitting next to these guys who are obvious Blaze Blue fans. They dyed in the wool. They knew Japanese. They played on Xbox Live with Japanese players. They follow like the developer blogs and things like that. They actually told me, it's like, man, Mori's such a fanboy. Watch this. And they said, and they asked him, it's like, so what was it like when Kotoko signed on? And just Mori's face lit up. And they're like, yep, fanboy.
what did Kotoko do?
Kotoko? She did the opening.
Oh, I didn't know that. Which one?
The console. For Blaze Blue.
Yeah, the B-side?
She does the A-side and the B-side.
Oh, okay.
The B-side is just a better song, is all.
Yeah, I like the B-side. I didn't know that. Nice.
But anyway, so the other thing, one of them also went up there, and he's like, and he asked this completely facetious question, and he goes, so if Tager is magnetic, why can he use a cell phone in his victory pose? And it was, Taka interpreted that for Mr. Mori, and he just started laughing, and he shouts out, "Wasato yatteru daro, yaro," which basically means, "You're doing this on purpose, you bastard!" And he just laughs. And then he gave the ultimate, like, go away fanboy answer, which we know was on purpose on his part too. It's like, it's just part of his power, okay?
He can turn it off and on.
He can turn it off. And so, you know, it's part of his power that he can use cell phones.
Oh, God.
Well, that just makes sense.
It's just like how Superman can shave by eye-beaming himself.
Yes, he uses a mirror and heat visions his own beard.
But makes anyway, no sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it's one of those answers people give.
His beard
give.
Is too super for any mortal but razor.
What and about the mirror?
Actually, this has been answered by DC. It's not just a mirror. It's a shard of this Kryptonian ship that he crashed on. I'm not kidding about this. You can look it up.
So wait. Where is it, was this mirror actually? So this is like a handheld mirror and not a.
It's basically a shiv.
Okay, I'm picturing like a picture.
He's like super shined it, and it reflects his eye beams. So anyway, going back to Mr. Ishiwatari, he's a great guest, and I got some really fun answers out of him. Something that you guys will be interested in. I didn't get this in my interview. It was. Part of the general panel for him, people asked about Bridget. Like, so why did you design Bridget? And he's like, well, you see...
Like practical jokes?
No, it's not a practical joke. He's like, Bridget was one of the four characters that we added for the second Guilty Gear. Mm-hmm. And so, well, actually, technically it's the third Guilty Gear XX. But anyway, he's like, well, we had some spots open. We had one for Dizzy. We had one for Ino. You know, so Dizzy was a previous boss. Ino is sexy.
And a new boss.
And let's see. Who else was added? Zappa was, you know, fulfilled our, like, weirdness quotient.
And then there's
and then we had an open space for Cute. And we're like, okay, so Cute characters sell really well, but they've been really overdone in fighting games. So how can we do this differently? How can we go outside of the box for our Cute character? And then it's like, how about we make up a boy? And then they also said, it's like, we were incredibly surprised by how well Bridget was received as a character, because it turns out that a lot of our fans don't care what gender anything is, as long as it's cute.
Sounds like Japan.
Yeah. Sounds like Japan to me.
Boy.
But it's and so, you know, there were a lot of, they were really open and
it's
really
fun. It's a trap.
Really fun to talk to.
The beginning of that.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that was a lot of fun just listening to them talk and hearing them, you know, just shoot the breeze. Like, in the private interview we'll hear coming up, I asked them about how, you know, some of their stranger character designs, and it's like, so how do you come up with those character designs? And Mori turns to Ishiwatari and goes, yes, how do you come up with those designs? And Ishiwatari was like, well, for Faust, at least, it was just my friend talking to me about what I would look like in the future. And he's like, you know what you'll look like in the future? You look like a hobo with a bag on your head. I was like, what?
That's a great friend.
I know, right? So anyway, yeah, have you guys actually managed to talk to any of the guests on any, like, real level?
No, not me.
This
no.
year?
Oh, because we haven't had any general press interviews.
We still had those. We had the press junket, which was just crazy.
Yeah.
It was lots of running around for me and for Albert. Albert's not here. That's why we have an empty fourth mic. He is also in the press department with us. But yeah, I was running one tower. Albert was running another, and we were, you know, running from one tower to the other, upstairs to downstairs to upstairs again. It was crazy.
The basic concept of the press junket was have all the press sign up for time slots to meet the guests of honor for the AX, for AX, and the guests would be in multiple rooms around the hotel.
And then, you know, the press would go into each room for the proper interview. And then when their 15 minutes of interview was up, they would move on to another guest. That's the general idea for the junket.
That was the plan.
Nothing ever goes right on day one of a con, much less day
zero.
-1.
It was day zero.
Starting with the late flights for several of
late
the guests.
Latest arrivals. Prep time.
At least there was no bomb threat, unlike last year with Shokotan.
It's funny you say that, but last year went better than this year. So
actually, you're right.
Last year went better because it was in one location. Yes. All of the press was in one place. They got to all of the different rooms. Here we had press in one room downstairs, and there were so many people that I opened a second room, so two rooms downstairs.
Yes.
And then there was a holding place upstairs in my tower, and then there was a holding room upstairs in Albert's tower. So that's four locations that I had to.
There was four of us at the time.
Yes.
There was four of us.
Yeah.
John was in the room suffering like it was a sauna.
Oh, because, there was the AC didn't work.
Oh, my God.
And the press just kept packing into the room, so the heat just went straight up, and I'm just happy that these aren't general attendees, because then it would have smelled.
I've mentioned this before, but if you ever walk to an something I don't miss about arcades, at least, you know, impromptu arcades, is the lack of ventilation, because you walk toward the arcade at Anime Expo and it tastes like man.
It does.
It's like licking.
It tastes like man without you opening your mouth.
Yes, yes, yes. God,
you know what is bad when it stops becoming an odor and starts becoming a flavor.
Man, it's like, move on.
Anyway, you're talking about guests. I do have a little bit of interaction with the guests, since I have been doing lots of running around doing various odds and ends. So oddly enough, I was escorting Tsunku.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right after the Morning Musume concert.
As much as I find a lot of his work creepy, that man has a really creative mind. If you guys don't know, Tsunku is the creative force behind, among other things, Rhythm Heaven, which a lot of you should be playing on your DS.
I don't know. I got no excuse.
So I'd never seen Tsunku before. I had been assuming he'd be like, you know, the kind of fade in the hair and sunglasses, sport jacket over t-shirt kind of guy. But no, he's just a normal-looking Japanese man that I would have thought was part of just Entourage. But no, he's the guy. He is the man.
Which is funny, because if you ever saw him during his Sharon Q days, one of the albums that they did put out prominently features him wearing nothing but orange hot pants.
Nice.
No, not that nice.
Oh, man.
Wow. Oh, man.
Marketing.
And that's when you know that he has to put that little male symbol next to his name. That's kind of why.
So, yeah, the crazy thing was I had to escort this group over to a TV interview area, and we had to go through public.
Well, no one recognized him.
Well,
right?
We were moving pretty fast. The main problem, you know, chances were low that they would recognize Tsunku, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a pretty private guy, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was, they also said, oh, and while you're at it, can you take Yoshi with you?
Hitomi is famous.
I was taking Yoshizawa Hitomi through public.
Mm.
Yeah. It was an entertaining 5 to 10 minutes of us going through the convention center.
Actually, I'm reminded of that Ocean's 11 scene, where it's Brad Pitt and George Clooney fleecing the teenage stars, you know, Topher Grace and whoever it is from Dawson's Creek, all those guys. And, you know, they walk out of the club and Brad Pitt and George Clooney walk through just completely unnoticed. And then all the girls start screaming and mobbing Topher Grace.
Thankfully, there was no mob scene and we got away. But thanks to that and the fact that I had to go into the Momus concert to go get Sunku in the first place, I was basically, you know, less than 3 feet from Sunku, less than 3 feet from Yossi, you know, less than 6 feet from all of Morning Musume as they came off stage. It's been an entertaining con, even though it's also been exhausting.
I just wish that I could have gone drinking with Naito, because I've met him at previous Otakons when I was a guest there with Mega Tokyo, and he's a really funny drunk. Oh man.
Does he still go to San Diego a lot?
Yes, he does, but usually he doesn't let people know.
Yeah, I mean, usually he doesn't, but you know, you
he still
go
goes.
Him if he goes, right?
Probably, yeah.
Go drinking with them.
I wish I could, but I would fall asleep after the first drink.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You get a Roy Rogers.
give me a Rob Roy, and by Rob Roy, I mean a Roy Rogers. Give my Japanese friend a Rob Roy. In fact, give him a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, as far as you know, it could be that Roy Rogers could be filled with alcohol.
Yeah. Why are we planning to get Yasuhiro Naito drunk?
Because he's awesome.
We want to laugh.
Because he's awesome when he's drunk. That's why. I mean, the Gonzo people, back when Gonzo still existed, they were pretty awesome while they were drunk, too.
It's not bad. You know, they got 24 hours bars over in Japan. It's commonplace. It's perfectly natural, perfectly fine.
It is. But anyway.
Yeah, I haven't had much exposure to the other guests. I haven't even really seen the Gundam guests. Mizushima, Seiji Mizushima,
Kuro Yosuke.
Yosuke Kuroda, and
Koga Yun, right?
Yun Koga, yeah. I know their names because they were at the junket, but I don't think I've even seen them.
Well, the big thing for us is that we staff press, and we see a lot of press.
Yes, you know, yes, we do.
We see, NBC, did we see CBS? I know we saw Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
NBC, Fox, TV Tokyo,
yes.
UTB, which is another Japanese television station.
CNN.
Yeah. CNN's here?
CNN's here.
So
although the problem is that it sort of gets muffled up, because wasn't there the Michael Jackson Memorial next door today?
Yes. And
was that today?
Well, they announced mistakenly a couple of days ago it was going to happen today, so media just went crazy. And then it's like, no, it's happening Tuesday.
Okay. That explains why all those TV trucks were outside.
Yes. And they were pointing at the Staples Center.
Yeah, that's where it's going to happen.
It's going to happen in Staples. Okay.
And that's why all the streets around the Staples Center are blocked
closed.
Off.
Yeah.
And we're very happy that it's not happening today. Otherwise, it would have been completely insane. It would have been traffic. We wouldn't have minded all the Michael Jackson impersonators, because they would have gone with
fit
all the
right
cosplay. And then the media would have come in and be like, well, look, we're here at Michael Jackson Memorial. There's the impersonators, and what is that person dressed as?
Hey, I think I remember that from the Scream video.
Why is that guy dressed in a dress? What?
No, that's not that uncommon.
Well, I mean, Michael Jackson.
That's true. it's a better kind of mixed crowd than you would have gotten, say. San Diego Comic-Con takes place right next to Petco Park, where the San Diego Padres play.
Mm.
Otakon, at least when I went there, it was at the Baltimore Convention Center. I think it still is.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, next to where the Baltimore Orioles play, right next to there.
What is that, Camden?
It should still be
Camden Yards.
And so when cosplayers walk by, cosplayers and drunk baseball fans do not mix. They do not mix.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay in San Diego, because the San Diego fans tend not to give a crap these days, and they don't drink as much and don't take it as seriously, so whatever. Yeah. And also, I mean, they're used to Comic-Con. Comic-Con is like
Well, it's freaking huge.
It's freaking huge. It's basic, as far as I can tell, it's when San Diego makes money again.
Yeah. Oh, there was,
because like the entire tourism industry of San Diego is based around that convention center, basically. And so it's like, even in down years, it's like, thank God for San Diego Comic Con, because, oh man, that's when that's our version of Black Friday. Yeah.
Nerds apparently are a constant source of income.
They are.
Well, it's bringing up Comic Con, I was going through the dealer's hall after it's closed, one of the perks of being staff, and some of the dealers were saying that, well, today, Friday, was a very good day, almost equal to what they get at Comic Con. So, I mean,
that is very good to hear. That's actually very encouraging.
Yes. Well, what's very encouraging is that we probably are breaking the 50,000 mark in attendance this year.
Oh, yeah. That is a crazy number.
Yeah. That is a crazy, crazy number.
Well, estimated to 55,000, from what I understand. I mean, we haven't gotten the hard numbers back. But
yeah, we won't know the final numbers till Sunday. I mean, it's only Friday. Well, it's technically Saturday morning, July 4th.
Happy birthday, America.
Yay.
And then,
yay!
Well, this is what Mana says. Happy birthday, America.
But yeah, we won't know the final numbers till Sunday, but it's looking huge.
I should do a podcast where I just go,
and then you'll have different guest interpreters.
Exactly. Except I would never let Kevin do it.
I would love to hear that, though.
We would have to beep out half of it. Or, sorry, get numb half of it. Oh man, we should probably get some sleep, shouldn't we? It's 1 a.m.
We got another early start. We always have an early start. One of the downsides of being staff.
That's not that down.
Late hours and early rising.
No, it's part of the con experience.
Well, then again,
think of the attendees. They're doing the same thing. They're probably not even sleeping.
In this case, the late hours are our fault, though, because after we have the 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., you know, vague shift where we kind of take like 1 hour or 2 hour breaks in between if we can.
Technically we close at 6, you know, but you know, like yesterday I was still working till 9.
And then we just, you know, we just keep walking around. Yeah. It's like, hey, let's get to the few hours where I can actually enjoy this thing. So we just wander around and go, like, hey, look, that's a cool costume. Hey, look, that's not as cool of a costume, but nice try.
I was just thinking, between the staff and attending, I think we tie in when it comes to food. You know, attendees get food that costs, you know, an exorbitant amount, and we get free food that makes us sick. So
it all bounces out.
Yeah.
There's a line from Big Bang Theory. It's like, well, I'm Hindu and we believe in karma. So, you know, 3 months of this and I should come back as a well-hung billionaire with wings.
God, we ate hospitality food. Yes, I can imagine that happening. God, I wish it was 2 years ago.
We're not saying bad things about hospitality. We just like having, you know, those money voucher things.
Oh, that's God, Long Beach they were Convention so Center. Great. 2 years ago. Oh,
we cameled those things.
Oh, they were so great. And we had a contest just to see who could get the most, so we basically starved ourselves.
No, we didn't starve ourselves. That was the year that some of the dealers brought in just like the giant boxes of Japanese snacks. So we lived on like Yan Yan and Pretz
and Pocky
and Xylish Gum.
So we didn't use a bunch of our vouchers, and they said, hey, we got a bunch of unused vouchers. Pull them all together. We got like $48. Let's get some pizzas up in here.
Yeah,
and we ate more like than $48, I think.
Yeah, that was just for that one meal.
Oh yeah,
and we were sharing it with press. I think we were sharing it with random people that came in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember you coming in with like your arms full of sodas.
Those were all your personal ones. Yeah, that's right.
That was the last day of the con. It's like I got a bunch of vouchers I haven't used yet. Yeah. Sodas for everybody. I gave a random orange soda to somebody. I gave Diet Cokes to people. Yeah. I kept one Sprite for myself.
And this is how we recruit new staff. Yes.
Oh, it was so great. Oh man.
Yeah. As much as we complain about being tired and stuff, we still have fun.
Yes. Yeah. It's tiring, but it is fun.
And it's rewarding in its own way. We get to sneak. The press relations badge gets us into so many places because we're one of the few departments that has their together.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so we're just true. Like. It, so we've perfected the art of walking around like we own the place, yeah. And so people just let us in without questioning.
Speaking as the manager of the press department, I am exceptionally proud of everyone in my department. Everyone has really pulled their weight. I've got a bunch of new guys who are first years, and they have acquitted themselves excellently.
Yeah, good job, guys.
Props to everyone in my department.
Go Cal Animaj.
I could not do this without you.
And not only that, we've picked up two extra people who aren't staff.
Yes, oh my God.
Just like what I used to do.
We have people who are not even staff, and they're working as hard as my official staff.
Thanks, Juan. Thanks, Bryce.
Oh, okay. And Jen, too.
Jen,
that's right. Jen
Hunt. So three.
That's what happens at press.
We thought we were going to be understaffed, but apparently people just like hanging around.
And they're willing to work. I mean, thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Wasn't it four, though? There was Hong, there was Jen, there was what's his name?
Bryce.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there a fourth person?
I don't know. Possibly. I don't think there's a fourth. It's just some of the old other CIA people coming over here to hang out. They don't actually do any work. They just called people over saying, this guy needs help. That was the closest thing they made to a contribution, but still.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, directing people to get the help they need, that's actually a lot of what I do.
Yeah. Which is very important. Finding the information is what we pride ourselves in actually doing in press. Finding information, making sure that's given out correctly so there's no runaround for anybody.
As little runaround as possible.
I mean, attendees, yes.
Yeah. Except for myself.
Damn it, I have...
I run around so much.
I have jizz in my pants stuck in my head again.
God. Oh, man.
In my pants.
That was not... Okay,
so this is what happened today. We had some pretty gnarly sandwiches for lunch, given to us by hospitality.
Ham sandwiches,
you know, they're pretty standard. They gave us, you know, those mayonnaise and mustard packets. Mm-hmm. I don't eat mayonnaise, so I, you know, removed it from my sandwich package.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forgot about it.
And it somehow landed on the floor.
It somehow got rolled over by one of the office chairs.
That you're sitting in.
And it somehow squirted all over the tablecloth. Some of it got on the chair. Some of it got on my shoes. And we just looked down and we stared. Whoa. And I immediately went on YouTube and looked up the jizz in my pants video.
Man, the things I miss when I'm walking Tsunkura.
Yeah. And
it was impressive.
As we're listening to this, you're cleaning it. So it's like, jizz in my pants, and there's this big...
That's when John walked in, yeah.
This big white thing on black
background,
and you're just with this napkin going... And I'm like, oh, God, Jesus.
Humming the song.
And then the best part was that, you know, like, Andrew was there going, Dom, there's some on your shoe. It's like, oh, really? Wait. Look at the left. Oh, there. So I got to wipe it off.
Oh, God.
And then you were the one who pointed out, it's like, some of it got out of the chair.
Yeah.
All this time, the song is still playing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, come on. And it's mainly, of course, now it also smells like mayo. So,
yeah. We have such a good time that no one else knows about.
But now all you listeners do, so, hey, just another facet of the S-Words universe.
Yeah. All right, let's close this one up so we can get to sleep. Do you guys have any shout-outs for your homies here at AX?
I'd like to give a shout-out to all the friends that I have not yet seen. I hope to see you soon. That's Tristan, that's Ziggy, AJ. Hope you're all here having fun. Hope to see you around.
I'd like to shout-out to Hospitality to bring back those little stubs. Man, they were awesome. I'd like to point out that I know people were complaining the first few days, and that's why you stopped. But they don't know anything there. Those complainers, no idea what the hell.
They know nothing. Nothing.
Yes. Bring it back, please. Bring it back. They're great.
My main shout out is thanks, John, for your first appearance on this podcast.
Yay.
We hope to hear you again soon. Mm. Soon the podcasts will all be at Kevin's very new house. And so you
congratulations
should be able
to Kevin, too.
Yeah. And so you should be able to come to those and contribute, and I'm looking forward to it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
Now, let's get you out of that bathrobe.
Oh, my God.